bagel of butter, still haven't got a sponsor. Still bagel of butter in the doghouse. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
That was Mr. Boss. Takes care of the St. Patrick's Day part of this show. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Good evening. This is Andre Ballou speaking.
Why?
Well, I'm telling you my name now. A Stupnagel and Bud won't let me mention it at the end of the show. The old meanies. This is the second in a series of radio shows presented by Colonel Stupnagel and Bud, in which they're suggesting and demonstrating the changes they would make if all radio were under their supervision. Mark Warner and his orchestra are one of the changes they are not making. This particular program is presented through the courtesy of No One Incorporated, makers and distributors of nothing. Let me introduce now, if I may, the president of No One Incorporated, who will tell you of his plan for tonight's fetching presentation, Colonel Lemuel Q. Stupnagel.
Thank you, Andre. Good evening, friends. Hello, Bud.
Hello there, Colonel. How are you?
Oh, fine, thanks. You don't happen to have a piece of chewing gum on you by any chance, do you?
Well, it's nice to have had this little talk with you.
Yes, yes. Well, goodbye.
Goodbye, Colonel.
As the Colonel has just said, Mark Warno brings us tonight two of Columbia's favorite stars. One, a young lady new to radio, who plays the piano and sings, Miss Cleo Bryant. The other, an old favorite of yours and mine, whose name and work are familiar to every radio listener and moviegoer, Mr. Nick Lucas and his guitar.
Newsflash! Huey Long, Senator from Louisiana, has just written a popular song called Share Thee Well, Santa Belt.
Anna's Newsflash!
understand that you're quite an early riser these mornings.
Oh, yes, Bud. I jump up at the crack of dawn, take an ice-cold shower, and run around the block a couple of times, do a series of exercises, and then I'm ready for a strenuous day of loafing.
Well, look, tell me, do you ever listen to the morning radio program?
Oh, sure. Jump up with a smile, let a grin be your companion, start your day right, eat palsy-walsies, and walk into your office with a song on your lips. Oh, yes, I listen to morning programs. But I'm sort of tired of listening to these fellows who are always talking about smiling. I think that once in a while they might have a program called Turn Down the Corners of Your Mouth or Leap from Your Couch with a Grouch.
Yeah, that's good. I like that. Leap from Your Couch with a Grouch. That's a swell idea. Let's see how a program like that would sound for a change. What do we advertise on it?
Well, how about the Soup Nagel and Bud's patented artificial wrinkles?
Oh, yes. I see. You mean we furnish artificial wrinkles for people who want to be sad all day?
Exactly. Huh? Now, how about a theme song?
Well, let's see. Frown, Clown, Frown would be a good song.
Yeah, or Stand Up and Sneer.
Yeah.
How about Miseriary?
Oh, that's fine. Fine. Accord, boys.
Morning, everyone. I'm glad to see it's raining today. You will now listen to a program built to make you feel badly called Leap from Your Couch with a Grouch, sponsored by the Soup Nagel and Bud Artificial Wrinkle Company in conjunction with several people who just paid their income taxes.
Hello, friends. Did you all get out of the wrong side of the bed this morning? Good, I did too. We got a couple of guest artists who wandered into the studio this morning with that hangdog expression that adds so much to our general feeling of gloom and despair. The first is a woman named Hope Lessness. She will tell her story of depression, and we hope you won't enjoy her. Miss Lessness.
I held ticket number 856 in a sweet station. The winning number was 857.
Yeah, that's tough, Miss Lessness. Worst luck next time.
I hope so.
And meanwhile, don't forget Soup Nagel and Bud's patented artificial wrinkles. They will add years to your appearance.
And so it is that we come to the end of another Leap from Your Couch with a Grouch program.
Mm.
I'm glad to say...
Hilarity now.
So you're going to break up your own announcer. I am glad to say that the Colonel scraped his chin painfully during his announcement. And now, once more, I'll let you listen to Colonel Longuel Few Face Nagels, who will tell you of an awful little gift we're giving away free of charge to those who don't write in.
You tell him, Bud. I'm mad at everything. The program's got me trimmed.
Yeah, well, if you'll tear off the top of the Empire State Building or a facsimile of it and send it in to us with your name and address on both sides.
Just what is a facsimile, Bud?
Facsimile, huh? Yeah. You want to know what a facsimile is?
Yeah, if you don't mind.
Well, send in the top of the Empire State Building and we'll be sorry to send you one of our patented both sides wrong beds. These beds are foolproof, sleepproof, and foolproof.
Yeah, and don't forget sleepproof, too.
Yeah. And since both sides are wrong sides, you cannot jump out of bed with a smile, but instead, you leap from your couch with a grouch.
And remember our motto, nothing is so bad that it can't be worse. No, wrong number, Mark. Try again.
Here's Cleo Brown, who plays and sings. He's so good to me.
When I feel a tip, it's called the tip. When I feel a tip,
From Chicago, too. And now, Bud, tell them about our plans for the men behind the microphone. You know, when I think of all the things that we're going to do to change radio, I practically shudder.
All right, Colonel.
The men behind the microphone, as we so aptly call them, are the engineers and the production men who are even more vital to a radio show than announcers or artists or even sponsors. But they never...
Wait a minute. I thought you wanted me to tell about them, Colonel. You interrupted me just as I started.
Yeah, excuse me.
Yeah. The men behind the microphone, That's absolutely right.
They never get a chance to get any part of the glory of presenting a good show. All they do is slave in the background.
Yeah, and we propose...
We propose that they be allowed to assert themselves publicly during the course of a program the same as an artist.
Yeah, we'll show you...
We'll show you just how such a plan might work out.
Yeah, as our curtain rises...
We are giving a little play. We're giving a little play called The Operation for Appendicitis in Operating Room Number 53.
Go ahead, Doctor.
Well, Doctor?
Yes, Doctor?
I'd rather think that...
Yes, sir. So do I. I'll call the nurse.
So, nurse?
Oh, Miss Jones? Wait a minute. Don't have the nurse come in yet. Hello, folks. This is Knight, the production man, speaking.
All right. So do I. I guess I won't need to call the nurse, will I, Doctor?
No, Doctor. Not after that. I hardly think that's necessary now. Come over here close to the microphone.
Hey, you guys, you're too close to the microphone. You're listening to Chief Engineer Chamberlain.
Hello, everyone.
What was that you were saying, Doctor?
I find that I have operated on this patient before, Doctor.
You did, eh? What did you find?
This is Knight, folks, the ace production man speaking again. Don't say yous, say you. Use is bad English.
Go on, use is justice of the Supreme Court.
Use is still bad English.
Who uses bad English?
Use uses bad English. Hello, Mama. This is Knight signing off.
Well, Doctor, since you say you've operated on this patient before, tell me, what did you find?
I found a copy of the Daily Journal in the Evening American, Doctor.
Oh, I see. You weren't a citizen at the time, eh?
No, I was taking out my first paper.
Yes.
Hey, you'll have to take out that last joke, boys. It'll throw the whole network off the air. This is Chamberlain, A number one chief engineer speaking, folks. Hello, Aunt Hattie.
I see. Well, Doctor, there seems to be a bit of heckling going on here.
Heckling, eh?
Come now, if you're taking out this appendix tonight, take it out.
I'm taking out no appendix tonight, Doctor. I'm taking out that tall, blonde nurse.
This is Knight, the ace production man, speaking again, folks.
Oh, it is, eh?
If one doctor is taking out an appendix and another a blonde nurse, I may as well take out something, too. So I'll take the whole play out of the radio program.
This is Chamberlain, spelled C-H-A-M-B-E-R-L-A-I-N.
Rah, rah, rah.
Chamberlain, AA number one chief engineer speaking to you, friend. What will I take?
take a number from 1 to 10, double it, and add a million.
Of Adelbert Gladsaddle, a dealer in bricks and mortar. A rather simple-looking gentleman approaches. Is it a toss-up who would play the part?
Who is it, please?
It's I, kind sir.
Well, I'm very sorry, but I have all the help I need. Good day.
Well, but, sir, you see...
Yeah, open that door and come in. Uh-huh, hello there.
Hello.
You look very cute.
Yes, sir.
Maybe you didn't hear me pretty good there.
Well, I need a job very badly, sir. I'll do anything. I'll even work for nothing if you'll pay me for it, I will.
I'll pay you for it, huh? Well, I'll tell you, young man, I like your spirit. You see, though, that my business is small. I employ only 30 men, most of whom have been with me for 30 years. And, of course, I have several horses to haul my stuff to the railroad station.
Well, how are your horses?
Oh, they're fine, thanks. They were just asking for you.
They were, huh?
Mm-hmm. There's the phone. Hold on a minute. Just hold on a minute.
Sir, the horses?
Hello? Gladsaddle speaking. Oh, yes, yes, Angus. What's that? My gracious goodness, Dobbin, huh? And a fine animal he was, too. Oh, I'm terribly sorry. Well, goodbye, Gladsaddle. I mean, goodbye, Angus.
Was there somebody injured, Mr. Gladsaddle?
No, one of my best horses ran away, and they can't find him anywhere. Now what am I going to do?
Well, maybe I could be a horse for you, Mr. Happy Pebble. I'm a strong fellow. I even used to play horsey when I was a youngster, I did.
You a horse? Gracious, no. What would the neighbors think?
Well, I really hesitate to think what they'd think, I think.
Yeah.
I love to play horse. You see, I just love pretending I'm something besides what I am.
Yeah, I don't blame you. All right, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you a try. Now, you run out to the barn, and you get in stall number 3, put on the harness, and dash down to the freight yard, and get back just as fast as you can, lickety-split.
Yes, sir. Whoopee, I'm a horse. Yay, I'm a horse.
Come in. Well. Young man, so it's you, huh?
Yes, sir.
How are you now?
Pretty good. Hey,
my foreman tells me that you've been doing an excellent job as a horse. My goodness, you even have an expression like one and that hair going down the back of your neck that way. What did your wife say about you being a horse?
Well, she said, for goodness, oh, my gracious sakes alive, or something of that sort.
Now, listen, you might at least stop while I'm talking to you. Listen to me. Tomorrow I have a very important job for you to do, one that means a great deal of money to me, and I want you to be here at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning, all hitched up to the wagon, and ready to dash out with a big load.
Well, 6 o'clock is CC for me, Mr. Clamtumble. I'll be here right on the dot for that day. Sounds more like the Morse code than the horse code, don't it?
All right, don't fail me now.
No, sir, not me. Goodbye.
Well, here it is, 10:15. And not a sign of that guy who's playing horse for me. He's 4 hours and a quarter late, the day I need him most. Uh-oh.
Hello there, Mr. Clamtumble. Please don't whip me. I can explain my undue tardiness.
Well,
here you are, huh?
I thought I told you to be right on the job at 6 this morning. Look at your harness, all tattered and torn.
I'll say.
Your face all scratched up that way. What happened to you, for goodness sake?
Well, I wanted to be here in time, all right. In fact, I got to the stable at 6:15 this morning, and then feeling a bit frisky on account of the peachy oatmeal I had for breakfast with vitamins A, B, C, and D, I started to trot around the block for rehearsal.
Mm-hmm.
And just as I was nearing the plate yards, a great big piece of newspaper blew across in front of my face. And what? And I shied and ran away.
Guitar in hand, our star Nick Lucas offers The Isle of Capri.
Somewhere far away, over Naples Bay, that's where my thoughts keep on turning, down by the sea, where romance came to me. Picturing the scene and what might have been, but it's in vain that I'm yearning. They change it all, and I'm left to recall. 'Twas on the Isle of Capri that I found her, beneath the shade of an old walnut tree. Oh, I can still see the flowers blooming round her, where we met on the Isle of Capri. She was as sweet as a flower at the dawning, but somehow fate hadn't meant her for me. And though I sailed with the tide in the morning, still my heart's on the Isle of Capri. Summertime was nearly over, blue Italian sky above. I said, lady, I'm a rover, Can you spare a sweet word of love? She whispered softly, it's best not to linger. And then as I kissed her hand, I could see she wore a plain golden ring on her finger. Well, goodbye on the Isle of Capri.
The announcer, Colonel. Last week we shot him. Why didn't he stay shot?
Hello, boys.
Hello, Andre.
Yeah, you have nothing to say here. Don't you know that we have a campaign to eliminate announcers?
I didn't know that.
Well, you should. You were on last week's show, and we said it.
Well, I was just listening to the music.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Well, Andre, this is our program, and if we don't want any announcers, we don't have to have any.
Oh, let him say something, Colonel. But making limited to one word.
That's a good idea. Go ahead, Andre, but remember, only one word.
Nuts. Did you hear what he called us, Colonel?
Pay no attention to him, but let's get into that original radio joke thing we were speaking about.
Oh, that's so. Ladies and gentlemen, radio comedians are always being accused of telling old jokes. So at least, one on each program. And each program, the Colonel and I think, we're going to tell a really original joke or story which no one can lay claim to except ourselves. This is to prove something or other, we're not sure what. Then we can tell by the laughter in the theater whether the public likes the old jokes or the new original ones. Here is tonight's joke.
Hello, Bud.
Hiya there, Colonel. Say, Colonel, that fellow named Beck, whom you introduced me to last week, is he from Yale?
What fellow is that again?
His name was Beck. Did he go to Yale?
No, Bud, I'm not sure, but I have a hunch Beck's from Notre Dame.
A hunch Beck's from Notre Dame. Yeah. I get it, yeah. Well, yeah. I guess I'll have to go back to the old jokes again.
Mark Warner presents one of his characteristically unusual arrangements.
famous conversation. As you know, this is a sustaining program, so it's practically impossible to have guest artists on it because we have no sponsors. So instead, we just pretend we have two guest artists each week. Last week, they were Miss Beatrice Lilly and Mr. Jack Benny. Tonight, we are fortunate in having with us, in fancy only, those two grand fellows, friends of us all, Mr. Alfred E. Smith and Mr. Fred Allen. If you two gentlemen will step up here to the rostrum, please. Yes. Now, I'm not sure whether you two fellows have met before. Fred, this is Al. Al, this is Fred. Fred, Al. Al, Fred.
Well, Fred Allen, I'm pleased to meet you. I think this is the first time we've met. Or did we meet before somewhere? Where was it? Heartland?
And so we bring to a close another program of Snoop, Nagel, and Bud. This program has come to you through the courtesy of... Good night, folks.
What?
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
We hope that you've enjoyed this recording. And for more happy listening, please visit OTR.com.